in on the drive. Waiting on Sean Barber and Joe Mays to pull up. I know the weather outside is a little bit frightful, so give them a little bit of time here. The Pop Quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 at Twin Peaks. Remember the Titans. We continue to learn more about Nick's favorite movies.
Great movie.
There's a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also take a trip around the NFL to talk about the other three divisional round games: Cowboys, Rams, Patriots, Chargers, Eagles, and Saints. The Chargers, I don't know if anybody told them that they had advanced in the playoffs, that they had another game, because they did not look like a team that came to compete. I also have
they
a theory.
Smoked.
Yeah, I also have a theory about the defense. We'll get into that. I want to talk to the guys of the Monday Morning Linebackers about that as well. I want to play this really quickly. This was you talking to Clark Hunt about how important it would be to win the AFC Championship and to get the trophy that has his father's name on it.
Very special, obviously, for our family. It's one of the goals that I always put out for the players at the beginning of the year. First thing we want to do is win that Lamar Hunt trophy. Want to go to the Super Bowl and win the Lombardi trophy. So excited to be able to do it here in Arrowhead, to be able to play for the championship in front of our great fans.
You can kind of hear the emotion here, but how are you feeling right now?
I couldn't be more excited. It's been a long time coming. You know, it's something that I think we, as an organization, we feel we should have accomplished in recent history. Since Andy came here, we've had a lot of shots. But finally, we get a chance of winning that AFC championship, and to get to do it at home is so special for us.
I mean, that's the stuff that that's when it really sort of set in with me. You know, when Clark was talking about that, about holy crap, you know, the Chiefs could go to the Super Bowl if they beat the Patriots next Sunday. And that was the moment when it actually hit me, what we're looking at on Sunday. And I wish you could see the look on Clark's face and the reaction that you got from him, because he was starting to get emotional letting himself think about that, about what could possibly happen at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday night. So I remember driving back to my house before, it was about 3:30 in the morning, before Game 7. I was coming back from Channel 5. I'd been editing stories for the morning show that were going to air, and it was after Game 6. I was driving home, and then it hit me, and I got pretty emotional driving home, because I'm like, man, the Royals could win the World Series tomorrow night. You know, for the first time since 1985, and this was in 2014, obviously. And I didn't get that emotional over this, because I had about a mile and a half hike out to my car to be able to get out of Arrowhead's parking lot last night and had to get everybody home. But I had that similar type of moment. I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans did too. Once he got past the fact that the defense showed up, played great, beat the Colts, got that first home playoff win, and then it sets in, holy crap, one more win and this team could go to the Super Bowl. I mean, honestly, like, can you? 5-6 years ago, you couldn't wrap your brain around this, that the Chiefs could actually be going to the Super Bowl. So yeah, it was quite a moment, and that's kind of when it hit me, when you saw, you know, a pretty stoic Clark Hunt that doesn't typically show a lot of emotion start to get choked up a little bit when he was asked about that after the game.
We're happy to be joined by the guys from the Monday Morning Linebacker. They're brought to you by the other place. Sean Barber sitting here, Joe Mays starting to sit down right now. Happy to have you guys coming on today. Sean, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, Barbershop's doing well. Celebrating my 44th birthday today.
Happy birthday, dog.
No doubt, man. You know, 30th for the 14th time. I just keep celebrating that 30th one over and over again. That's how I stay young.
How that body feel, though?
You know, the body feel like it's about 21, so.
Ooh. Well, I can still play then.
No.
All right. So it feels like it's 31 then, if that's the case.
Stay hydrated. That's all I can say. Stay hydrated.
What'd you get for your birthday, man? Did you get anything good?
Co-workers at KCIG, the insurance company I work at, they all took me to lunch for some wings over there at Talk of the Town, right off of Quivira and 119th. So I had me some Nate Yachty style, half atomic, half Carolina barbecue. Mm. Throw them sauces together, put it back on the grill, char it up a little bit. That's how I like my wings.
Sean, I feel like you're going to say I told you so when it came to the defense. I don't know if anybody could tell you I told you so when it came to
the
defense.
You didn't see this coming. There's no way.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You guys both.
I'm wondering what y'all talking about right now. I thought I was just going off. I was so, you know.
Come on, Sean. Now, Sean, I give you this, and I was with you. I did think that their defense was going to play better than people had anticipated. I didn't know they were going to play the best I've seen the Chiefs in maybe a year and a half defensively. What changed from this team from the end of the regular season till Saturday?
I think everybody just came to play. I think Chris Jones has been playing this at this level all season long. you know, him getting snubbed out of the Pro Bowl was an insult to how hard he worked. Like we saw the 11 games in a row of getting sacks. We always knew when Houston can turn it on and stay healthy, this is the type of game you'll see him in the postseason. I think he had planned on, you know, keeping himself healthy all season, keeping the team, you know, in first place. And D4, we know, is a contract year, even though he doesn't, you know, pay attention to it being a contract year. It's a real big year for him.
Wait a minute. He doesn't pay attention to being contract year? Come on now, Sean.
I heard him say he don't pay attention to – he doesn't even know when free agency started.
Did you know when it was? Did you guys know when it was a contract year?
No, I didn't pay attention to that stuff either, man. Okay. It just – you know, when you're out there playing the game, to me, D4 is focused on the team goal, getting to the quarterback. He's focused on his starts. He don't need to be 100%. He's out there just making plays.
He ate up that rookie right tackle too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he used him. He used a rookie right tackle. I was watching him the entire game, and he abused him. It was beautiful.
He did what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, against a rookie.
Right, and it's playoff ball. So, you know, this rookie, he may know about playing football, but when it comes to the playoffs, the intensity is completely different. And I feel like, you know, the defense, not only D4, but the defense showed up and really balled out like we needed them to.
Can you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this? Because I noticed this on that one play with Chris Jones when he pushed back Quentin Nelson. I kind of think that Kansas City's defense looked at Indianapolis offense like, you are a finesse type offense, that we can bully you a little bit. That, like, once we punch you in the mouth, I don't think you can punch back. And I think that moment whenever Chris Jones made that play on Quentin Nelson, who had been getting all the hype in the world about how great of an offensive line that was, I thought that the rest of the defense kind of fed off that energy for the rest of the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, with playoff ball, is completely different from season ball. So right now, it's all about being who is the most physical team. Whoever the most physical team is, more than likely, they're going to have a better chance to win the game. So when it comes to them going out there and playing fast and playing physical, that's going to be much needed, not only in this past game, but, you know, heading on to the rest of the playoffs.
I want you guys to explain that to me, like, how it's different. Because and all I know is, like, baseball stuff, right, for the majority when it comes to, like – because I know, like, you know, big league baseball players, and this sounds crazy because fans get mad when they don't hustle to first sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you got a 162-game season. If it's a weak-ass grounder to second base, the last thing you want is Salvador Perez busting a hammy because he's running 110% down the line. You know, so they want him to save their bodies a little bit. Mm-hmm. How is it different in the playoffs? Like, why is it faster? Is it a mental thing? Is it that you guys have saved some stuff over the course of the season, you know, physically, because you know you're in this game? Like, explain to me how it's so different.
Man, I'll put it to you like this. Just this simple. One and done. If we lose, we go home. We're done playing. So I gotta step my game up. We have to step our game up so that we can continue to go forward. I mean, you know, it's not just about playing the game of football. We play this game to win and win at the highest level. What I mean, you know, who wants to play the game just to make it to the playoffs, just to exit after the first game? So it's all about playing fast, playing physical, doing whatever it takes in order to keep it going.
Well, you know, you look in a football game, there are some series. I know people want to think every play is just important and everything. You want to go hard because you want to protect yourself. So the nature of a football player going hard on every play is just the nature of, like, self-preservation. You want to make sure you don't take off a play early or let up early, because that's, you know, you leave yourself open to injury. But as far as each play in the football field, right, you know, each play, you got 100 and some plays. There are series of plays that are more important to you winning than the others. The first series of the game sets the tempo. The last series before half, you know, you want to go in on a good note. You want to be able to come out on that third quarter, that first series, to set the tempo and the pace of the second quarter. And then you want to finish off the fourth quarter strong. So there are certain series to the game where, you know, you definitely want to make sure your D-Fords and your Houstons and Chris Jones, everybody is kind of clicking all on cylinders, because they have a greater impact to the outcome of that game, right? And then each one of those games has a greater impact of where you're going to end up, you know, seated in the playoffs. And now when you get to the playoffs, you clear that whole board. Like, none of that season stuff matters anymore. Mm-hmm. And now you need guys to go out there and give maximum effort on each play, because any play could be the sack, strip, fumble. Any play could be that pick six. And that's the mentality of the defense right now. So if you just look down the line of the Chiefs' defense and look at each individual player playing at the highest level, it was not even close comparing this defense to the offense they was going against.
It almost came off like they heard a lot of the criticisms that people had about their defense, and they heard the praise toward the offensive line because all of us were worried about the Colts' ability to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And Marlon Mack had 9 carries. He was a non-factor. Now, some of that was the Colts got down early and you can't really run the ball effectively. But even in the beginning when they were trying to establish the run, I think you could tell that this defense was just – something had changed with this defense. I don't know if it was scheme. I don't know if it was changing the back end, the secondary. I don't know what it was. But to me, this defense, I can't stress enough how much more physical they looked this week than they looked in past weeks.
I think Joe said it. He said it's when you get that one-and-done mentality, you want to know what changes in you. You know that if you don't bring your game early and often and you don't show that maximum intensity any series on any play – and we found out the hard way, you know, Chiefs did on that one punt, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. One situation, somebody forgets to stay on their man and tries to try to trade off a player.
I think it was Darrell Williams.
Yeah, and I think it was Chuck Kendrick West, too, wasn't it? He was in there, and I think he thought the guy was picked up. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't picked up, and he got the easy block punt.
Yeah.
Well, 31. He just needs 31. If Williams stays on this guy, West picks up the other guy and is taken care of. But when somebody switches off and you're not ready for it, and obviously – those two guys probably was a little bit new in there because maybe O'Daniel was maybe playing one of those positions. Yeah. Whatever the reason is, it's gone over in a meeting so many times. Mm-hmm. It's something that's not even tolerated because that's the difference between having a shutout, you know, possibly a shutout type game turn into somewhat of a here we go and put some doubt and all that in fans' mind and all that kind of stuff. I don't think anything mentally changed with the players. I think the players, the defense have said it all year long. They got enough. They got what they need to go win. So they didn't make any additions. They didn't make no trades. No, they didn't trade away the draft pick stocks, anything like that. They kept tight to who they had because they knew they had enough to win.
And they got the younger players that experienced at the end of the season, like Ward and Tremont Smith.
Yeah.
They got those guys in playing defense. So they can get that experience because going into playoff, you can't have a rookie in there that haven't had any experience during the season. So I feel like that was key as well.
I want to ask you guys about Tre'Davious Ward coming up on the other side because leading into that game against Seattle, he had only played 10 snaps, and he played the most snaps for this defense on Saturday. Like, their confidence in him completely changed, and he has been, he is one of the 15 most important players on this team from a guy who was inactive for most of the season. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in a national cash contest. I can't wait to play the audio of Tom Brady saying that everybody thinks they suck to Sean Barber so he can talk about the true underdog story, which is the New England Patriots. Nobody believes in the two-time defending AFC champions advancing in the AFC playoffs. We got a lot to get into in the Monday Morning Linebacker, brought to you by the other places, The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It was Williams trying to get him to go block somebody.
Damien Williams is a good story. They toss it back here to Hill. Around the corner, he goes! Tyreek Hill to the end zone. Touchdown.
Cheetahs like the snow, apparently.
It is the Monday Morning Linebacker, brought to you by the other place, Joe Mays, Sean Barber. I do want to talk about Tre'Davious Ward, but I want to read to you guys a couple tweets from Adam Schefter. The National Weather Service is projecting an Arctic blast to settle over Kansas City for Sunday's AFC Championship game. Temperatures at kickoff could range from 10 degrees to well below zero, making it the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium history. From Fox 4, ladies and gentlemen, we have a true winter football game Sunday night in Kansas City. Temperatures near kickoff expected to be in the ballpark of -5 with wind chill of -15 to -20.
That's football weather.
Nope.
Nope, it's not.
Cannot do it. Not me.
Football weather.
Can't do it.
I'll tell you this much. It's not going to be that cold in my basement.
Sean, I know you guys.
I'm not going to be out there for that.
I know you guys always like to make it seem like you guys are warriors and it's not cold. I'm sorry. If you're outside and it's -15-degree wind chill, it's cold outside for everybody involved, including you guys on the field.
Man, that just means that the game of football is not built for you.
It's not. No, you're right. Joe, I realized that at 8 years old. Like, I remember you told me one time you were like, I wanted to play football because I wanted to hit people.
Yeah.
I had the opposite. I didn't want to hit people. I didn't want to be outside in the cold. I wanted to be inside watching you do all those things. Oh, I didn't want to do those things.
I mean, yeah. I wanted to hit somebody. And when it's cold, you hit somebody and you land on top of them so that way you're not really touching the ground. I mean, that's the best way you're supposed to play that.
I mean, I'm with you on that. I didn't play a whole lot of football growing up, but it was fun hitting people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When it's cold, too? Yeah.
I don't think the cold's that serious. I don't think, I really, negative four, whatever you want to say it is. At the end of the day, man, they got the heated benches on the side. They got the warming coats. They got hand warmers. Everybody got a pouch on who needs it. Those that don't need it, you know, grease up, put some whatever it is on
What do you mean grease up?
You got grease up the guns, dog.
Yeah, you got yeah.
What would you grease them up with?
You put Vaseline on you, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, so it keeps that
keeps
heat.
You warm?
Yep.
Can you do that? Like, do they check you for that, like the refs and stuff? Because, I mean.
Sean is definitely out there checking to make sure the Vaseline. No, he
Sean's snitching on everybody.
Yep, he got on Vaseline, and he don't have enough yellow.
Yeah, I know you told Goodell about the Vaseline on, and you definitely out here snitching.
Something wrong with y'all.
So about the heater thing, though. I'm so glad the Chiefs are playing at home instead of playing in Foxborough because when it's cold outside, they definitely like to cheat the opposing team. Like, your headsets goes out.
I think they'll do it when it's 85 and sunny. I think they'll do it anytime.
Yeah, they do it anytime. Yeah, the heaters are barely working. It's just, it's just all bad.
What's the coldest game that you guys ever played in? Anything like this, like we're about to see on Sunday night?
In the playoffs, the Eagles versus the Bucks back in 2000. Was that the 2002 year, I think? Mm-hmm. 2000, that was like the coldest game that the Bucks ever won in the playoffs. They came up to Philadelphia. Gruden came up to Philadelphia. I don't know what the wind temperature was, but that was a pretty cold one. But
Do you only notice the cold like when you're getting beat? I mean, or do you even notice it?
Yep. that's the time where you really notice it because it's like, okay, we're getting blown out, man. Please, let's just hurry up, run the ball, let the time run off the clock. Let's get off this field.
Yeah. Joe, you had to play in some cold ones, man.
Yeah, I played in several cold games. I mean, starting from when I was in college playing in North Dakota State. You know, we would much rather practice outside when it was super cold instead of being inside because we didn't want to practice on turf.
Who's it affect the most, the cold weather? Kickers? Quarterbacks? Who's affected the most?
I mean, I would think it's receivers just because, you know, the velocity of the ball, you know, hitting cold hands, I would think that.
Yep.
Obviously, kickers with the ball being cold, but I think everybody, I mean – these pros, the professional guys, man, they adjust to the elements. Besides that, man, it's just if I'm on the line, I would love cold weather, man, to be able to get off and, you know, get in the trenches and putting your hands on people and, you know, doing anything besides just standing there.
Yep.
I remember thinking this during the game. I didn't want to tweet it because I didn't want anybody to think that I was hating. But Sammy Watkins' catch he made with the one-handed catch.
That was freakish.
Like, that showed me the power of those gloves. There's no way you can catch that with your bare hands. Like, I'm saying nobody. I don't care who you are. Yeah. There's no way you can catch that with your bare hands. Anybody. There's no way you can catch. Like, it showed me.
So you're not going to give him his credit? Because
No, I give him all the credit in the world. I'm saying is nobody, not Odell Beckham, not Jerry Rice, there's no human being I think could have caught that Patrick Mahomes pass in the cold with just your bare hands.
You know,
like, it showed me having great hands plus those gloves, like the true power of those gloves.
You remember last week how you said I was giving the Colts no credit? You said, Barbara, you're not
giving them credit.
Barbara, you don't give the Colts no credit. Da, 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 da. I give Sammy Watkins the credit.
I'm giving him the credit.
I think he still makes the catch. I think the man has phenomenal hands.
I don't think any human being catches that with their bare hands.
And for the simple fact that you named Jerry Rice as one of those human beings that can't catch that ball.
Yeah, Chris Carter, Jerry Wright, they all catch that.
They all catch that 10 out of 10.
You have to admit, though, if you're trying to catch that barehanded, that's a little bit more difficult to do than with the gloves right now when Odell Beckham's catching him with, like, a thumb and his pinky.
They're like,
you know, one-handed. Those gloves are an advantage. Chris Collins talks about it all the time on the air. Those gloves are a big-time advantage.
I mean, I ain't no receiver, so I can't say. I didn't do the gloves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say a lot of you guys on defense, you'd be wearing those gloves because the high times I'd be seeing y'all drop easy interceptions.
It's got a stick in your face mask for you guys to get a pick.
I got a few pick six. So I ain't.
You have any picks, Joe?
I got a few.
No, I haven't. I didn't have any picks, and that was the one thing that I was.
You got bear claws for hands? Is that part of
you
the reason?
You know what, man?
You had those Sammy Watkins gloves. You would have had five.
Yeah, I think I needed the Sammy Watkins gloves. Matter of fact, I needed the Sammy Watkins hands, and that would have helped me. But, you know, I was all about blitzing and thumping.
I was a wide receiver in high school and stuff, so I transitioned from offense to defense. I think I had just naturally good hands.
I wanted to ask you guys about Charvarius Ward. How do you go from, he only played 10 snaps the first 14 weeks of the NFL season. How do you go from that to 3 weeks later, he played more snaps on defense than any other player on the team? Like, is that he got a lot better over the last 3-4 weeks? Is it they put trust in him? Is it they gave up on Orlando Scandrick? I'm just trying to figure out how you go from being inactive as many times as he was to now how much this defense depends on him.
I think it's all of the above. Everything that you just said, that all plays a role in why he was able to play all of the plays, more plays than anyone else this past Saturday. I mean, you know, with them giving up on Orlando Scandrick and basically putting him into the lineup, they believe in him. They want to see what he can do. And he's just trying to, you know, make the most of his opportunity, which, you know, every single player that's playing in the NFL, that's the goal. If I do get the opportunity, make the most of it. And that's what he's doing. And he's capitalizing on it. So I think right now he's playing well. He's going to play. He's going to continue to play well heading into the rest of the playoffs. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, he can work his way into the starting lineup next year.
I mean, was it an act of desperation, at least a little bit? I mean, Andy was getting crushed a lot in Seattle when he's playing those guys. And he's like, yeah, I wanted to see the young guys. And the majority of Seattle thing, what do you mean you want to see the young guys? I mean, you're on the road in Seattle. You know, you're trying to lock up the number one seed. You're playing, like, what are you doing? And to his credit, man, him and Bob's credit, this thing worked.
So what does that tell you?
Stop
questioning what they're doing. You got to stop questioning Andy Reid. He has a plan. And when it comes to, he's just a mastermind. Like what he do, what he sees things that other people can't see.
Yeah.
And what he do, a ton of people always question him.
How come they didn't see it earlier? That's what CDOT wanted to know. I mean, Orlando Scandrick and Ron Parker have been struggling for the majority of the year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You want to give your veteran guys the opportunity to pick themselves up.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to just yank them out as soon as they play bad. You want to get them a chance to up their game a little bit. And he did.
I mean, to me, that decision may be the one that gets them to the Super Bowl and potentially wins it. Like that decision in Seattle. Would you guys agree? Because a couple of weeks ago, when CDOT was sick, I said Tremont Smith, Charvarius Ward, a couple of 22-year-olds, those guys might be the two keys to winning a Super Bowl. Sean, you on board with that or not? Probably not if it came out of my mouth. But
you right about that. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you just ain't been right a lot. So
come on.
No, you
haven't been right.
No, you come
to doubt the 31st ranked defense in the NFL for me to question them?
Every
How
week,
dare me?
Every week you question the defense. You question why we blitz, why
it.
We do this. You question why EB playing, why he ain't playing. You question why what is D4's motivation. Everything about the team you have questions about.
I do. I have a lot of questions, yeah.
And at the end of the day, you have no trust. That's what I. If I'm blinded by one thing, is blind trust. I got a lot of faith and trust in Andy Reid. Always have, always will be.
It's the Monday Morning Linebacker, brought to you by The Other Place. We'll keep this going on the other side. I want to play for you guys what Tom Brady had to say, and we'll talk about the AFC Championship game as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are riding into town on an Arctic blast. It is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I apologize for not teasing it. Joe Mays distracted me. But it is now your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word LIFE. Now, for the first time in your life, the Chiefs will be hosting the AFC Championship game. LIFE to 72881. LIFE to 72881. If you want Chiefs talk, the Monday Morning Linebacker and a chance to win $1,000. There's only one station in Kansas City giving you those weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Text the word LIFE, L-I-F-E, LIFE, to 72881. So, the underdogs, which are the New England Patriots, won again yesterday. They defeated the Los Angeles Chargers. So the Chargers look like a team that have been playing all across the country over the last 3 weeks, and they had finally just reached the limit of, we're tired, we're ready to go home. Tom Brady, at the end of the game, said this.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Sean Barber, as someone who hates the New England Patriots with the hate of a million suns, what did you make of Tom Brady's comments after the game of everyone thinks we suck, no one thinks we can win a game?
Man, he giggled it off. It was just a joke. It's just, he's, you know, he's playing, being funny, trying to be funny, I guess. Mm-hmm. He knows they won a lot of ball games. He knows
they won like all the ball games, really.
Yeah, I mean, they're in their eighth straight AFC
title. He has a storied history. He knows he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. You know, he's part of a dynasty, so, you know, whenever they go a place, I think this is the first time in, like, 60 games they've been a underdog. Right?
I saw this, yeah.
So, I mean, something ridiculous like that. This first, this whole. Yeah. So once every 60 games, the New England Patriots are underdog. You know, they got to come to Arrowhead. They got to play a ball game. Two great teams playing. You can't have enough respect for what Tom Brady and Belichick has done over there in New England.
Like, wrap your heads around that just for a minute. Like, I'm going to say this sentence, and it's going to blow you away. The Chiefs are hosting the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots, and they're favored to win. Think about that. The Chiefs are hosting an AFC title game against the Patriots, and the Chiefs are the favorite. I mean, that blows me away. I mean, that just doesn't. I like 5 years ago, I'm like, there's no way that I'll ever say that sentence in my life, ever.
As a fan, you would expect them to be in this position, but you know, for them to actually be here, you're super excited, and of course, you want to cheer for them, and it's all about being optimistic from here on out, as you should have been throughout the entire season. You believe in your team. You believe they're going to go out there. They're going to make the plays in order to win the game, each and every game, and get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what every single team set out to do, and the Chiefs right now, they're headed that way.
Sean, the stat was Brady and the Patriots have been favored for the last 67 games. That includes the playoffs. The last time they were an underdog, it was September 20th of 2015 at Buffalo, and they won that game. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites, 3.5-point favorites, kind of depending on where you get it from. What makes Bill Belichick such a great defensive coordinator? Like, I would argue that he is the greatest defensive mind in the history of the NFL. What makes him such a great defensive mind?
Personally, I just think, I mean, he has multiple ways of taking away your strengths. That's the most simplest way I can put it. No matter if you have a strong rushing attack, you're strong at the wideout position, you're strong from the tight, whatever you usually go to, right? Your go-to receiver or your go-to passing game, down the field, short, screen game, whatever it is you do well, he always takes that away. And he makes you beat the Patriots with your offhand, if you want to say that. So he's been able to create a defense that can find multiple ways, whether it's putting DBs on tight ends, whether it's jamming a tight end with an outside linebacker from the line of scrimmage, which I thought they did that to Tony Gonzalez, I think, back in the day a few times. Whatever he has to do from a defense standpoint, and still be sound. So it's not like he, just voids a whole area to take away something. He's able to take away something and still pretty much be sound across the board in other areas. So you got to kind of take your hat off to somebody who's able to create a defense like that.
I mean, he basically covers up any type of weakness that they have as a team, as a defense. I mean, I think, you know, heading into the season, people would say their weakness would be their DBs. He covered them up by playing zone, or they run a zone blitz. That way, the quarterback don't have a lot of time to get the ball off. They have to make a play really, really quick. And now your DBs is in position because they have eyes on the quarterback. So he just do a great job of not only scheming against the team and taking away what they do good, he cover up what their defense do bad.
I was watching this morning. I had the Chiefs-Patriots game from earlier in the season on DVR. So I went back and I watched the first half of it this morning. And he was showing blitz a ton. And then he was dropping guys into coverage, and that's when Hightower, I think, got the interception on. The other thing that I'm really curious about, too, when it comes to the Patriots is Kareem Hunt always had big games against them. Mm-hmm. Not around anymore. You know, and I'm curious how that's going to affect the Chiefs, you know, in this game. I mean, what is he couldn't figure out a way to stop the running back, Sean. Was that because, like, a guy like Belichick is more focused on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and lets the running back eat a little bit? Is that part of the deal?
Now, I heard somebody said that there was one game where Bill Belichick went up to his defense and said, this running back is going to get 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, but we're going to win the ball game. So, I mean, it's times he goes against teams and he's willing to give a certain player, you know, let that player eat all he wants, and he just, you know, puts the reins on other aspects of the game. He lets you become really one-dimensional while he suffocates other players. And that's a recipe for winning. I think that, you know, anytime you can make a team one-dimensional, your defense has a better chance of being successful.
So if you guys were coming up with a defense this week, as Bob Sutton has to do, to try to stop the New England Patriots, what would be your first thing of, we need to stop this to beat the New England Patriots?
I mean, I'm always starting with the rushing game. Mm-hmm. You got to stop Sony Michel, whoever you got.
James White.
Burkhead, right? Burkhead and White, those guys. You got to stop that three-headed monster as far as running. I mean, if they run the ball, they don't need to do anything else. They'll consistently just make it a muddy game and double-team you guys. Gronk comes in as a third tackle sometimes, and he's not really being featured that much in the passing game right now. So he's knocking people off. They call it combo blocks and, you know, chip and replace type blocks. And he's moving guys out the way. He's getting guys out their gaps and then moving up to other blocks. And that's leaving some gashing running lanes for the running backs to take advantage of. So I focus totally on that rushing game and just make them, you know, make Edelman beat you.
Here's the thing, too, though. I mean, I was looking at what Kelsey's done this year and last year against the Patriots. 5 for 61 this year, no touchdowns. 5 for 40 last year with no touchdowns. So it seems to me that Belichick is like, okay, Kareem can eat. Go get his thing. I mean, so is he going to be as scared of Damian Williams? I'm sure Damian Williams is probably going to go out and have another big game. But if they win it, he doesn't care, right? I mean, Kelsey, to me, is the key.
Yeah. You know, he don't care about giving up yards. It's all about points. If we can score more points than you and win the game, which is what Sean has been saying pretty much all season.
I don't remember him saying that. Actually. I don't know. That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that before.
Yeah,
sounds familiar, man.
I can't remember anything else.
You know, he got that from somewhere.
Wish you could see Sean Barber staring at me right now.
Unfortunately, he got it from the Patriots.
Yeah. I didn't come up with it. I got it, yes.
No, that makes sense.
Very successful teams worry about points given up and not about yardage.
Yeah, so when you hear bend but don't break defense, I feel like, you know, Belichick and the Patriots, they really, really, truly live by that motto.
On Sunday, Sonny Michel, 24 carries, 129 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Like, I looked at the Chargers, and I thought, like, they were – like I thought they could kind of take it to the New England Patriots, and you could tell very early on that, like, they had no answer for Sonny Michel. And if you can't stop him, then you let Brady have a good day. Like, you have no chance of beating the Patriots.
None. Zero. If you're not more physical at the point of attack on both offense and defense, you're going to have a hard time beating the Patriots. They pretty much – they were physical. They ran the ball. They got up, and they forced the Chargers to throw the ball, I believe, close to, 60 times in the game? I believe it was close to something like 60 times.
Yeah, Rivers had he had 51 pass attempts in the game.
51 passes. I mean, when you can have your quarterback or have a quarterback throw the ball 51 times instead of them being able to run the ball, you have a pretty good chance to win the game.
Yeah, because Los Angeles had 10 carries for 19 yards. I mean, certainly not going to get it done ridiculous. On the run against the New England Patriots. I have a theory about the Chiefs defense. I want to run past you guys and see what you think on the other side. It is our Monday morning linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Second down goal. Holmes. Tries to get in, and I believe he did as the official falls back into the snowbank. They're going to wait for the call here. Brad thinks it's a touchdown. It is.
Back in on The Drive. Nick, if you can, go on my Twitter account and retweet this. Someone found the newspaper report from the Minneapolis Star Tribune of father of Patrick Mahomes, reliever Patrick Mahomes, left the team on Sunday to be with his girlfriend in Texas. She delivered a child. It was a boy. That boy turned out to be Patrick Mahomes II.
Wow.
And then he returned to the team and met them in Kansas City.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
It's all coming full circle, isn't it?
Yeah, that was from September 18th, 1995 in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. You guys, we were talking about this during the break about Bob Sutton potentially working on things during the regular season. We'll talk about that at 4 o'clock, and we'll go around the NFL with the other games that happened this weekend in the NFL. We'll talk about that. I want to tell you guys my theory, my defensive theory. I think, as odd as it sounds, that the playoffs are actually a good thing for the Chiefs defense because the playoffs allow their secondary to be more physical. So I looked this up. The Chiefs had 31 pass interference and holding penalties this year. 31, almost 2 a game. And we all know in those big time games, whenever a guy got beat, they got grabby, they got physical with receivers, and they were throwing flags. That I watch this game and I see Jordan Lucas make a play that I think week 5, week 6, they probably call that to be pass interference, but they're letting the players decide it on the field. I think that physical play helps this team in the playoffs because they call less defensive holding and defensive pass interference calls. What do you guys think about my theory?
I think you might be heading somewhere. I think this might be one of the better ones that you've had all season.
I'm getting better for the playoffs.
I think so. Right. Yeah.
I'm getting better for the playoffs. I've been holding out all season.
I think so.
Leaving my hot takes for the playoffs.
You've been working on something.
You've been working
season.
On something.
I've been
I
working
see.
On it.
Well, I brought this up. I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mentioned this to Sean earlier in the week, and he's connected to the league, and they were saying that officials don't get graded in the postseason, but they get graded in the regular season. The league basically says, hey, here's what we're looking at this week. For example, Clay Matthews getting called for roughing the passer on Kirk Cousins. We saw what happened. Like, Clay Matthews, they're not making that call later in the season, right? So the league tells officials, hey, we're looking at this. And officials get graded on this stuff, so they're scared to keep the hanky in their pocket. But here's the kicker from a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy.
Three guys.
That's way up there, said officials don't get graded in the postseason. So they're going to keep the hanky in their pocket, and they're going to let him play a little bit. I think CDOT's onto it. I mean, that makes complete sense. Andy Reid even talked about it after the game. He goes, in the regular season, he said the average was 16 penalties a game, and in the postseason, it's about 12.
Mm-hmm.
This helps Steven Nelson, who's the grabbiest guy out there, right?
Well, of course. I mean, they're letting the players play, and which is something that they should have been, you know, should have been let them play during the season. But at the end of the day, I feel like these refs, they have quotas that they have to meet.
Like cops with speeding tickets.
Absolutely. I mean, whenever you implement a new rule or a certain rule that you really want to, you know, just settle in on.
I love the police, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, they have to do what they have to do.
Yeah.
You want your guys to be out there looking for these rules, looking for these things so that you can implement them the right way. I mean, unfortunately, they've been throwing flags all season, and it's like, well, that's pretty questionable. The good thing about playoff ball, they're not going to be throwing questionable flags. If anything, they may miss something.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, when it comes to these questionable flags and questionable holding calls, we won't see too much of those in the postseason.
Joe, kind of to go with what you said, Sean, I do want you to answer is, I feel like so far in the playoffs, the first two rounds of the playoffs, I've been seeing what I would consider a lot of good no calls. And I think for the NFL, so far, we haven't had one single conversation about officiating. All postseason, in any of the eight games we've seen so far, we have not had one conversation about replay, not one conversation about officiating. When I feel like the theme of the offseason was about the helmet rule. Most of the season was about roughing the quarterback and how tightly they were calling it. That has not been an issue in any playoff game so far. That to me, it seems purposeful that they're not calling it as tight as they were during the regular season.
Yeah, I think what comes to mind is like late in the game against the Saints-Eagles game, I saw defensive end Chubb come off the edge and got a personal foul for kind of going up high. His arm kind of goes across Foles' helmet a little bit or something like that, and they ended up having to call that. But later on in the game, there was a pass to Golden Tate that was underthrown by Foles, and you see the DB is kind of shadowing him. Don't look back. And as Golden Tate is trying to make a play back through him, they don't call the pass interference. And that's something that was called numerous times during the year. But as the guy was saying on TV, I mean, that's a good no call. In the postseason play, like you got to put a little bit onus on the offensive guys, the receivers. Hey, we expect y'all to go make plays. We're not going to bail you out with incidental contact, with a little bit of, you know, hand fighting down the field. I mean, some of that is going to be the nature of the game when you have highly skilled teams going at it. And I like to see that the refs are starting to kind of keep their flags in their pockets.
Because what I felt like happened a lot during the regular season, and certainly to the Chiefs, I feel like the Chiefs would get to 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-10. Then they would call some holding penalty that would then give the team an automatic first down, which then keeps that drive alive. And then, all right, you're going up against NFL offense. They're eventually going to score. I think you're 100% right. Like, they aren't bailing teams out here. You got to make a play on third down. Like, we're not going to give you a pass interference 40 yards down the field to just keep your drive alive. You got to make a play. Somebody has to do something that I think is, I would say, more than any defense, it is helping this Chiefs defense, and they have really benefited from the officiating being a lot more lax this year.
I mean, 6 penalties for the Chiefs yesterday. That's it. Or Saturday, yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah,
that's not a typical Chiefs game.
It's not. I mean, I think we got to get a credit to the Chiefs. You know, I think they played just a great overall game. They played mistake-free. I mean, you know, besides the one, you know, giving up the one punt.
The block punt, man, the fumble by Sammy. But yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, they played just a great game overall. And, you know, I feel like, you know, especially going into the postseason, you don't want to give these refs anything to look at or think about when it comes to them throwing the flag. Just play clean, physical football and put your team in a good position to win.
Why don't they call it like that in the regular season?
It's a quota.
I mean, that's kind of the frustrating part. And the first penalty that pops in my brain is the one where Dirty Dan barely even touched Antonio Gates on that play. Like, why? I don't understand why they call it differently in the postseason than they do in the regular. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, yeah. You know, they got these refs. They got them out here looking for certain things to throw flags on. I mean, whether it's good or bad, it's always going to be that gray area. And if it's in a gray area, they're going to throw the flag, period.
I don't know if you guys, either of you guys, had the foot injury that Sammy Watkins had. Are you guys surprised at how, like, Sammy Watkins looked fully healthy to me? Like, I wasn't expecting Sammy Watkins to look that explosive. Like, I was expecting him to kind of ease back into it a little bit. He played, 74 snaps in this game?
He looked great.
He looked explosive. I wasn't expecting that given his foot injury. I don't know if you guys had that injury or were you guys surprised at how dynamic Sammy Watkins looked in this game?
No, not surprised at all. I mean, he's had plenty of time for it to recover, you know, do all the treatment, do everything he needs to do for it. He's probably sore today, which is a good thing, a great thing, because he He pretty much went out there, you know, this past Saturday and put it all on the line. You want guys to come to, you know, I know that you hurt. I know that you banged up. But when it's time, when it's crunch time, I want you to be able to play your best. And, you know, that's what they got out of him. That's what they're going to continue to get out of
him. Well, the Chiefs always have really good, you know, training staff. Rick Burkholder is one of the, you know, best in the league. And call him Hollywood Rick Burkholder. He does a great job.
They call him Hollywood Rick. Why?
Yeah, because when it's time, he get the stars aligned. You know what I'm saying? When it's time for the stars to come out,
I didn't know that. He
gets them ready to roll. So
I hope he's listening.
Now Rick's a good dude, man. Yeah.
So I'm to take that he's not working with Eric Berry and he's working with all the other players.
Wow.
He hasn't gotten Eric Berry ready to roll. I was just trying to clarify, Sean.
He got you there. I think
the stars are aligned. I think that, you know, if you look at the team and what was prepared and what was needed to go play the Colts. I didn't. Maybe there wasn't a need for Eric Berry on that game day.
So maybe he'll be ready to go for the Patriots.
So maybe he will be ready for the Patriots.
Cover Gronk like he did in week one last year.
If you feel like it is needed. Yeah. Well, they're not even using Gronk right now, right?
They're using him
as a tackle.
Offensive lineman, yeah.
He's just creating.
Don't be stealing my line. I texted that to you guys yesterday. Don't be stealing my information here, Sean Barber.
All right. B. Fannin.
He didn't really give anybody a chance to.
B. Fannin states the obvious.
Hey, it's a team.
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
A-A-M.
Yo, relax, all right? I'm trying to leave that stuff behind in 2018, and you trying to bring it on
here. Hey, B-Fannin does text us how nervous he is about the upcoming game and how nervous he is about this offensive line.
I'm not nervous anymore, man.
We got these two Kansas boys coming back to town, the Brom kid and the Smith kid. They've been looking like all pros. And did you see what they did with J.J. Watt and what they did with Clowney? They kept the pocket so clean.
What's not factually correct about that?
We got after them boys.
Okay.
We got after them boys.
We put them boys in place.
No, that's true. And that was one of my key matchups. It was D Ford against Braden Smith. Because that's what you want, right? I mean, if you're a Russian, you want a rookie tag. Come on. Yeah. I don't care how good of a year he's having. You guys are licking your chaps.
You got to stop worrying, man.
I'm done worrying. It's a successful season.
Trust the process.
You get me past this game. Now it's all gravy for me, man. I'm kicking back now. This is great.
Cool.
I do want to play for you guys. We actually compiled a montage of some of the worry that Brad Fanning had from last week.
I can't wait for this.
We put it together. And we have some tweets that people sent Brad. They were very upset about his predictions throughout the week. And I want to talk to you guys. You think that maybe Bob Sutton was holding out during the regular season, and now we are seeing the benefits of that in the postseason. We're going to keep it. We got an extended Monday morning linebacker with Joe Mays and Sean Barber. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.